Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Jason Bishop. EB out sick. Yes, he's been sick for the last 2 months.
He's sick.
But he's more sick.
He's more sickly.
Yes.
Believe he's the text, the exact sick. Quote on the text was, I'm covered up by 10 blankets. 10.
He probably has what I had last week.
Yeah.
Probably has the flu. So I guess he's out for multiple days.
This is just a crazy statement. I think I have a top 2% immune system in the world.
You're never sick.
In the world.
Yeah, you're never sick.
I think mine's pretty good, too.
I mean, it might even be top, like, 1%.
Yeah, but you've missed days. I don't think he's ever missed a... Have you ever had a sick day?
I think I've missed, sure, over 20-plus years, of course you have some.
Okay,
but
it's been years.
It's very rare. Yeah. Now, you know I'm jinxing myself. I'm going to catch that, whatever that new virus is coming out of China.
Yeah, the corona.
The coronavirus.
Yeah, the corona.
I'm already panicked about it. I don't know anything about it. I don't know any of the symptoms. I don't know how you catch it. But now I'm desperate.
But you catch it when you go to China. Don't go to China.
I won't be doing that.
I missed a lot of days. With surgeries,
right?
But not necessarily that many.
Haven't
days.
Had any of those.
Grabby, would you predict Bickle out multiple days like I was?
Ooh, good question.
Right now, I think he'll be out tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Because we had something we had to cancel for tomorrow.
Canceled a production shoot.
Right.
Cakes, it is impressive.
Yeah, he's never sick.
Very rarely do I call out sick. I mean, I can't remember the last time I called out sick.
I think I've missed one day in 12 years.
You know what you are? You're a stalwart.
We're going to live the longest.
Well, I don't know about that.
These guys are going to get colds when they're 76.
Is that what it is?
Off.
It'll do them in. Like yeah. They'll get a slight case of pneumonia, and then it just all of a sudden ramps up.
The wild card with Cakes, though, is he has no idea of his medical history.
That's true. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Adopted and has no interest in looking into it.
I could be a ticking time bomb.
Right.
Right now. And I just don't know.
Well, I feel fine.
But have you had a physical in the last couple of years to kind of check?
Couple of years, yeah. Last 3 years, probably, yes. I definitely need one at Fitty.
Is your cholesterol money?
It wasn't the last time. And I went on meds for it, and then I just stopped taking the meds.
Right.
And I'm doing this.
Well, I did that for blood pressure.
Oh, nice.
I did that for the blood pressure. Because I got checked for high blood pressure and had it was a little bit elevated.
Okay.
And they gave me meds, and it got back down to normal, and I stopped. So I have no idea.
Right.
It might be back where
you know
it
what we're doing? Gambling.
I don't know
Shocker.
Stupid.
We're gambling with our lives is what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's kind of dumb.
Well, last night the Terps gambled a little bit. And they were down 16 at one point in the first half at Northwestern. Northwestern is 6-12. They've lost 7 of 8 in the conference.
I think I saw a stat that at halftime, the only made bucket by a starter was an alley-oop dunk.
It was, to Jalen Smith.
That is unbelievable.
They got range, Cakes.
Right.
I mean, Jalen Smith and Wiggins are the only guys who played well offensively.
Well, Jason mentioned this earlier. They're 275th in the country in three-point shooting.
Yep, out of 355.
That's not good. I didn't even know there were that many teams.
Yeah, I think there's 315 or how many?
I think there's 355.
355 Division I programs?
Something like that. Maybe in the 330s.
Okay.
Anyway,
it's a lot.
Bottom line is, even if there were 1,000, 275 is not good.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. So they were 1-for-15. The starters were 1-for-15 last night at one point from the floor. And that would have been easily their worst loss.
Here's the thing. I'm an alum. I root for the Terps. I had high hopes based on all of the hype heading into this season that they might be a Final Four type team.
Yep.
I've lost all hopes. Are they a Final Four team? Are they going to make a significant run this year?
No.
Right.
No, I don't think that.
But for a
second, why? Because
they're number three in the country. They struggle
in the half court. They just struggle offensively in the half court,
and
they don't have legitimate three-point threats.
I mean,
Wiggins last night was good off the bench, had five threes, but they just don't have the consistency. They shoot 31% from three, and that puts them in holes early in games.
How many games have they fallen behind? I mean, they fall behind all the time. Like you said, early holes in games.
They're one of the worst first-half teams I've ever seen.
And I think Anthony Cowan's solid. He's solid. He's good. He's a senior.
He's just inconsistent. He was bad last night. He was 3-for-12.
I don't know. I liked Melo Trimble more. I like a guy who can score a little bit more.
Absolutely. You know what 353 D1 teams. All right. And they're 275 out of 353. UMES is last in the country in three-point shooting. They shoot 24% from the arc. Anyway, but that would have been an awful loss for them at Northwestern.
I mean, maybe they go to run in the tournament. Like I said, I had high hopes based on the hype, and they were ranked in the top five at one point this year. And on paper, they seem like a team that could be a Final Four type team. But the way that they've played in the games that I've watched, they don't jump out at me as special.
Especially,
JP, who are your Final Four teams?
I don't know.
That's the thing.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't follow college hoops that closely. Jason says that there's no dominant teams.
There aren't.
I know Gonzaga's got a great record, and they don't lose. I know Kansas is in the top five, and
they're usual
suspects. Duke lost two in a row recently.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's not a team that really jump out and you say, you know what, this team is awesome. They're going to the Final Four.
This year, drawing and seeding is going to be super important in the tournament. Because you have to have a good draw against teams that you match up well against.
Maybe they can go on a run. I'm just telling you, personally, my expectations have come down based on how they've played.
You're going to see some crazy upsets in the tournament
You could have four, non-Power 5 schools in the Final Four this year.
Well, you could.
It wouldn't shock me.
I would bet against that. But
CBS would hate that. They would not be big fans.
But I just look at Maryland's schedule here coming up, and if you look at the record of home teams in the Big Ten, just straight up wins.
Right.
It's crazy.
I saw that Rutgers is even ranked. They're like 24th in the country.
Yeah.
They got to play them soon.
I want to say home teams in the Big Ten in conference play this year. All right. I'm in the neighborhood. Probably 50-10. Something like that.
That's a pretty good home record.
So Maryland has to play at Indiana Sunday. Won't be easy. Now, they beat Indiana here, but going on the road, we know how bad Maryland is on the road at Indiana. They've got to play Iowa here. They play Rutgers here. All right, so home games, I would give them the edge there, especially against Rutgers. And then they got to go to Illinois. They struggled against Illinois here.
Illinois is ranked two.
Yep. Nebraska here. They still got to play Michigan State twice. They've got to play at Ohio State and at Minnesota and at Rutgers. I'm telling you, man, they're 5-3 in the conference. They're going to the tournament, but I wouldn't bank on a great seed for this team.
By the way,
they've been playing on
the road. How are you doing in our NCAA pool? Dylan and I have one team. Jason, I think, teamed up with Pete Medhurst. This was a pool where before the season started, college basketball, you picked three teams in the top 25 and three teams outside the top 25. And then whoever racks up the most total wins, including the tournament, wins. Mm-hmm. So, like my top 25 teams, I've got Gonzaga, I've got Duke,
yep,
and I've got Michigan State. My non-top 25 teams, we have Davidson, Washington, and I can't remember the other team.
I'm so glad
I look at the standings, right? And so the guy who lists it out, there's like 60, maybe 70 entries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I look and I go through there and say, okay, I get JP and Dylan. And then I see Jason. How many teams did you have?
No, I have... one for me, one for my wife, and then Pete Medhurst.
Multiple entries.
So
smart.
Pete's his own team. And then my wife and I, my wife didn't pick the teams. I just have a second entry. You have 81 points. Now, this is as of probably a week ago. You have 81 points or 81 wins, and 95 is leading the pool. You're 14 back.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. We're lower middle of the pack.
Yeah.
We're one of the worst teams, right? Because I think Davidson's not very good. At least early in the year.
I currently have my team has.
But we need. Here's what it comes down to. Like the nubby teams that you have, you need them to go on like a conference tournament run that'll rack up some wins.
I get it. I have 81 as well, but my wife, Teresa, which is my second team, has 90. So I'm five back of the
leader.
I
don't know. Maybe it wasn't you. Somebody's got like five or six entries.
All right. It wasn't me. I don't know who it is. I've got two. Bishop. Near pass. You're thinking about near pass.
I'd limit it to one entry per person, but that's just me. You know what? I don't run. I run one thing, the homies league. Everything else, I'm just along for the ride.
The homies league, which doesn't have any homies.
It's got half of the original homies or less. Actually, probably 80% of the homies have dropped out. But you don't change the name of the league.
That's true.
You just get some new participants.
You got new homies.
Yeah, that's all.
You know, guys like Pitesy and Farley.
Yeah, the new guys to fill the void.
Also, last night in Lawrence, Kansas, there was a WWE brawl at the end of that game against Kansas State. Kansas wins by 21, but there was a brawl at the end of the game involving multiple players, but Silvio D'Souza for Kansas, who picked up a chair at one point, now didn't hit anybody with it.
It was a stool.
Okay, the stool. He thought about it for a split second.
He had it over his head.
He had
the stool over his head.
Absolutely. So you're going to see some major suspensions coming from that game, probably D'Souza being the biggest one. But it was just nuts last night in college hoops with the Terps and then Kansas and Kansas State going at it. Baseball Hall of Fame voting for 2020. You got Derek Jeter in. He's one vote short of being the second player ever to be voted in unanimously, and who knows who that clown was. But Larry Walker also gets in. His percentage jumped from 55% last year in 2019 to 76% this year, so a 21% increase in 1 year, basically because the ballot was light.
Is Nomar Garciaparra in the Hall of Fame?
No.
It's amazing. There was a little period of time where you had Derek Jeter, A-Rod, Nomar Garciaparra, all shortstops, just unbelievable players at the time, and the only one that's going to get in the Hall of Fame is Jeter.
Right, probably. Doubt A-Rod ever gets in.
Unless the view of steroids changes, and that one, you know, Larry Walker, I thought was a great player. It's fine he got in. Jeter, I'm kind of with Cakes. It doesn't really irk me that much that he didn't get a unanimous vote. It's just because these old school people say nobody gets unanimous votes, although Mariano was the first player to do it.
Right. But again, we pointed this out earlier, the fact that Jeter, one guy doesn't vote for Jeter, but Brad Penny and Adam Dunn get a vote.
Right.
It's a joke.
And Raul Ibanez get a vote.
Come on, you got to have some levity with it. Does it have to be so uber serious?
I don't care. At the end of the day, you know Jeter's getting in. It's just dumb that someone wouldn't vote for him.
But I don't know if it's the passage of time. I think I'd be okay with all the steroid mongers getting in because, like, I'm looking at Barry Bonds. He's been eligible 8 years. And in 2013, he received 36% of the vote. And it's steadily increased to where he got 60.7% of the vote this year. You need to get 75%.
He only has 2 years left.
He only has two more years. But I don't know if it's just the passage of time. Like, if you put in Bonds, Clemens, Rafael Palmeiro, A-Rod, they were the best players in the game for a long period of time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
With or without steroids.
They were best players in the game. It was the steroid era. They were all doing it. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa. But these guys were the best at it. You know what I mean? Like, let's just assume everybody was on steroids. These guys were the best on steroids. There are other guys on steroids who won't make the Hall of Fame. Manny Ramirez,
Gary Sheffield,
another one.
Gary Sheffield, by the way, sixth year on the ballot, only got 30.5% vote. He's got 509 home runs and almost 1,700 RBIs. Career batting average close to 300. I mean, there's some guys that probably aren't getting in that had great careers. Now, Curt Schilling's interesting because Curt Schilling's at 70%. Of course, you need 75%. He's got 2 years left on the ballot. But next year, if you look at the players who are eligible, these are the best guys eligible on their first year on the ballot. Mark Burley, who was a five-time All-Star, had two.
No way.
Getting in. Right. That's my point.
Yeah.
Tim Hudson.
No.
Four-time All-Star, 222 wins, not getting in. Torrey Hunter, very similar numbers to Larry Walker, but he's not getting in.
Yeah.
Aramis Ramirez, Shane Victorino. Those are the guys. It's gonna be a light ballot next year.
Yeah. I mean, none of those names should ever come close to any sort of Hall of Fame.
That's fine. That's why I think that Curt Schilling probably gets in next year.
Yeah.
Because these guys got to vote for somebody.
And maybe you put in Barry Bonds.
Not next year. I don't think he's going to get a 20% bump or 30% bump, but actually it'd be 40% with Bonds.
No.
But you just look at the... No, I'm sorry. It'd be 15%.
Yeah, 15% and he's in.
15%. Maybe he gets to 65, maybe he gets to 70, and then you know, year 10, he might get hooked. But next year, I think Schilling gets in.
All right, coming up next, we got Alan May. We will talk some Caps hockey. Of course, it is the All-Star break. We'll look ahead to the second half of the season, the playoff push, trade deadline looming. We'll get into all that. And I believe he's been in Dubai.
That's right.
So we'll get the latest from Alan May, Capitals insider for NBC Sports Washington, next here on The Junkies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Still shut down the party. I can hang with anybody. I can drink whiskey.
Welcome back. Junkies All 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Should mention, coming up at 9:20, an hour from now, we're going to play some Junkie Shootout on a game show Wednesday. Give you a chance to win some Monster Jam tickets. Join us right now to talk some puck. Joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It's Alan May, Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington, who's driven by Dulles Motor Cars in beautiful downtown Leesburg and DullesMotorCars.com. I saw some pictures of Alan on Twitter. He's not in Leesburg.
No, he's not.
He's been in Dubai.
Yes.
What's up, Alan?
Hey, guys. I'm actually in Dubai, heading back to Abu Dhabi in a limo. So,
wow.
And a 5-something in the afternoon, 5:20 p.m. in the afternoon, and just spent like 2 hours in the world's tallest building.
Yeah, you were on top of the Burj, awesome. The Burj Khalifa. How tall is that building, by the way?
I don't know how tall it is. But I was on the 154th floor, and it was incredible, absolutely amazing. And I think we had to go to the 152nd floor to go actually be outside and, you know, take some pictures. And this place is amazing. I owe an apology, and it gets way more credit for how incredible it is.
It's 2,700 feet tall. That's how tall that thing is.
Yeah, they do the metric system here, so we had no idea how tall it was. But it was pretty amazing. And I didn't feel it moving or anything, and the elevator ride took us maybe a minute to get to the top.
Did you get to go on a camel ride while
I have ridden a camel? I did a desert safari 2 days ago, I think it was.
Very cool.
Rode a camel at the base camp. We had some monster SUV that was ripping us around sand dunes and almost rolled a bunch of times. It was like being on the world's scariest roller coaster. It was pretty awesome as well. So we're doing everything we can while we're here.
So is this trip in conjunction with the Capitals, because I know some of the brass is there, and I think they're heading to Japan also during the All-Star break. Are you just along for the ride here?
Yeah. Actually, the Monumental Sports and Entertainment is the parent company of the Capitals.
Right.
So we're here, and so Kim Weiss, who coaches the Washington Pride in D.C., it's the junior women's hockey. They're part of the Junior Women's Hockey League, and they have youth teams at 19, 16, 14U, that's 12U. She was here. We ran a hockey clinic yesterday in Abu Dhabi, and Fatima Ali, who we all met in Washington a couple times, she was there. She coached with us. We had about six Belarusian coaches and 45 kids on the ice, and we had another, so two back-to-back clinics with about the same amount of kids. It was, and the arena is beautiful. It wasn't what we expected. It was far nicer. But just like everything else here, is way nicer than we expected.
Yeah, you can see all the pictures on Alan's Twitter, May Hockey CSN, I believe it is, or NBCSW.
Yeah, you got to get it right.
Yeah, you should know. You should. Hey, you should know, since you guys simulcast that we're no longer that.
Yes.
Well, it's May Hockey NBCS, and then I got my Instagram. I got a pimp out right now. It's May Hockey 16. So I've been having more fun with that.
Oh, you're on
since
Instagram
I got downtime,
now.
I've been playing with all those. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Big time. So it's the All-Star break, and the Caps have had a great first half of the season. The second half of the season, I guess a couple of the questions we have are the deadline is coming up. What might we expect? And then the other thing is, we've talked about this in recent weeks, is what do you expect to happen at goalie? Let's start with the goalie position, because Samsonov has been playing fantastic of late.
He has. He's been excellent. He's been way better. He's the top rookie goaltender in the National Hockey League. I don't know how many other guys are. I guess Carter Hart in Philadelphia. Everyone else, it doesn't really matter to me. But Samsonov has been excellent. He's been better than advertised. He's already improved immensely this season. He's playing with confidence. Most important thing is when your goaltender plays with confidence, the rest of your team plays with confidence. So it's a win-win when you got him in net right now. And, you know, I'm still not going to give the keys to the car to Ilya Samsonov yet, because he's a young goalie. He hasn't gone through life yet, which means he hasn't had any bad things happen. He hasn't let in bad goals or been shelled for 10 or 12 goals in a game, and see how he recovers. And I've seen it so many times in the past, as I've told you, with younger goaltenders. You've got to just make sure you don't want to give them too much too soon. And it's just like everything in life. You know, you get a little scarred up and more battle-tested, and you're more mentally ready and more mentally prepared, just like we saw Braden Holtby go through it a few years ago. Had a dip in the season, and then came back and won himself the Stanley Cup.
Alan, describe the behind-the-scenes back-and-forth and dynamic between Braden and Ilya. Is it, you know, I saw a quote from Braden who basically said, I'm not here to mentor him, to tutor him through his, you know, his rookie campaign. Is it frosty? Is it a warm relationship? Describe how those two guys get along with each other.
I'd say fabulously. I think it was when Samsonov had a shutout last week that Braden Holtby came flying out and gave him the biggest hug and was so happy for him. And I think it was 47 games into the season, the team finally got a shutout, which was kind of alarming to me at the same time. But it's that way around the league. There's a lot of goals been scored this year, a lot more than in a long time. And, you know, power plays are clicking for everybody, it seems like. Just goals are up in general. There's more power play opportunities for everyone, which fatigues players and, you know, gets your penalty killers tired. So I just look at what they're doing right now. And Braden may have said that, but he's a class act. And I have heard that he's been incredible to Samsonov. There's no frosty relationship. And I don't know if Braden's ever had any problems with other goaltenders that he's ever played with. I know the guy, other teams that I've been on and teams that I've known around the National Hockey League where the goaltenders didn't talk to each other, didn't speak to each other at all, let alone look at each other sometimes. So wow. I don't think there's any controversy in that area whatsoever, other than, you know, they've got to, the team has to play better when Braden's in net, and Braden has to play better when Braden's in net. And hopefully, you know, he had a couple ugly goals on him the other day, and you know, the team awarded him with the player of the game helmet after, and it was kind of like, we let you have, you know, them too many opportunities against you. Samsonov went in there, got himself a win. But to me, the biggest thing is the Caps are a team through and through, and they got rid of the guys that were here years ago that weren't on the same page of winning and being, you know, true teammates and doing what they had to do and supporting everyone else that was out there. And I really think Todd Reardon's done a really good job, a great job, of coaching this team this season and keeping guys, you know, on their toes. And, you know, after this break, they're going to be rested, refreshed, and ready to play a better brand of hockey down the stretch.
The NHL scheduling just baffles me because it's the All-Star break, but there are two games tonight.
Well, it's not, you know, so what it is right now is that some teams have their bye week right now and some have after the All-Star break. So some teams will be off. So
right.
It's basically one half is off right now. And then the official All-Star break, I believe, starts on Friday. And then, you have the All-Star festivities on, what is it, Saturday, Sunday, so maybe Thursday. And then after that, teams get going, like the Caps get going Monday. Normally they get going on the Tuesday after the All-Star break. But there'll be other teams that are off after the break. So it's weird. I'm not really a fan of the bye week thing in hockey. I find it ridiculous, but, you know, they've been doing it. It's hurt a lot of teams. It's helped a lot of teams. So I guess you just got to figure out how to use the bye week and the All-Star break together.
All right, so we talked to you about this the last time, Alan, but the trade deadline's even closer. You expect them to make moves just around the edges, right? Nothing really dramatic.
No, it's really tough to make dramatic moves, and we've seen the majority of it fail and cost teams way too much. But what the tale will be told this month, as they get going here in February, is they've got basically three weeks to assess how their game is. Can they clamp down defensively? Can all six of the defensemen play a better brand of hockey, be more complete? They've got to know that they can count on Nick Jensen to be more decisive with the puck and a more positive player on the ice when it comes to shot opportunities for his team and goal-scoring chances on the plus side versus the negative side when they're out there. So I think a lot of it has to do with young players as well. You want to get Martin Ferravari up here and get a peek at and see what he can do. He's a phenomenal young player that's playing in Hershey right now. And when you look at the forwards, I think almost everything's ready. You know, last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, Todd Reardon put Lars Eller, Richard Ponick, Carl Hagelin, he created them as a checking line. He started giving them responsibility. And all three games have gone next level, especially Lars. But Ponick and Hagelin really need something. They needed to feel important on the team when it came to 5-on-5 hockey. And I think by making them a checking line, it's worked very well for the team. They're fully engaged at it. They're taking pride in playing real good defensive hockey. And at the same time, all three of them have been able to score goals. So that's a really good sign for a team because that line really wasn't providing any offense outside of Lars. And when you look at Hagelin and Ponick on the wing, both of them were almost at zero goals. And now they're slowly climbing up the ladder. Hopefully Ponick continues at the pace he's been on. And Carl Hagelin, you know, he's had chances, but he hasn't put the puck in the net. And he's playing the game right now with a lot more confidence when he has the puck. So I just think when you get that line going, they're a more complete hockey team and still in first place.
Joined by Alan May, Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington. He is abroad right now. He's in Dubai with Monumental Sports. So Alex Ovechkin goes into the All-Star break on a complete tear, back-to-back hat tricks. He's now tied with Steve Yzerman for ninth on the goal-scoring list. If somehow he's able to get 25 more goals throughout the rest of the season, that's a stretch, but it could happen. He'll be sitting at number 6 all-time. He'll pass Phil Esposito at 717. Do you think he gets to that number, or more likely he gets to 7 by the end of the season? He'll catch Mike Gartner at 708.
Well, I'm just hoping he gets the goal number 55 before the season is over. I love what he's doing right now, and I think it was the first time he's had three games where he had multiple goal games in a row. He's feeling good about himself. He looked a little tired, maybe beat up for a touch, and then all of a sudden last week he goes on that tear. To me, I don't really care where he ends up on the all-time goal-scoring list at the end of this season. I just would love to see him get 50. I believe it would make him the oldest player ever to have a 50-plus goal season or 50 or more goals. And to me, that would be an incredible accomplishment, especially for a guy that was written off 10 years ago around the league when all of a sudden he scored 32 one year when they reduced his ice time. So I just look at him. I'm never surprised at anything he does. He's superhuman when it comes to the game of hockey, and he just seems like he's getting better and better at every part of the game.
Alan, Jacob Vrana had 23 goals last year, I believe, and he has 21 this year. I could be off by a couple, but my question is, do you think Jacob Vrana is a 40-goal-per-season type of player once Ovi is out of the league and he gets more shots?
Well, Ovi might never be out of the league, so I don't know if that's going to happen. So what I do think is if you can get 30 goals out of Jake every season,
right,
that's what you'd love to have. And then after that, you know, if he was going to be a 50-goal scorer, maybe the league adds more penalties and does, you know, I don't know what they could do to create more offense. But I think Jake, you know, he's doing all of this even strength. So if he does have 21 goals, I believe 20 of them are even strength. He finally got a power play last week when they bumped off Kuznetsov and put him on the second unit. But Jake's skating and continues to improve. But the greatest thing about him, and the best thing that the coaches are probably happiest about with his game, is that he's a really good two-way player now. And he pays attention to the details. He mucks and grinds on the boards to get pucks. He wants the puck at all times. He doesn't waste energy on the ice. He knows when to go. He knows when not to go. And if you could just have him scoring every second game or so, you've got an incredible weapon on your second line. And I just love the fact he's doing everything even strength right now the way he is. He's leading the league in even strength goals.
Wow.
Which is tough to do, especially, you know, and you get on a roll. And most guys who are 20-plus goals in the National Hockey League right now are doing it a lot on the power play. And it's a testament to what he's been able to do in that second line of staying engaged, because he doesn't get the kill penalties. When he does get on the power play, it's 30, 35 seconds, 40 seconds max, and they're basically just trying to get a shot.
Right.
And when their unit gets out there. So he just continues to improve and impress, though.
I was off by one. He's got 22 this year.
Alan, what is the current temperature in Dubai?
It's not too bad. I think it's around 70-something.
Oh, so jealous.
It's not the hot season. It's not 120 or, you know, everything's in. I looked earlier, it was 77 degrees when I was actually paying attention. So I don't know what that is in Celsius.
It's 70s or high 60s the rest of the week. Nice. It's beautiful.
Nice. Well, look, enjoy the rest of your trip.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Enjoy the rest of your trip, and we appreciate talking to you. And, of course, follow him on Instagram now, May Hockey, and it's May Hockey NBCS on Twitter. He, of course, is driven by Dulles Motor Cars, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Kia, and Subaru. Experience the Dulles difference in beautiful downtown Leesburg at DullesMotorCars.com. Thanks, Alan.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Take care.
Yep. All right, buddy. Cakes, don't you think Verana can be a 40-goal guy?
I mean,
he's only 23.
He's got 22 at the All-Star break. So right. You project that out. I mean, with this amazing math brain, I'm going to say that's about 33 to 35 goal pace. Sure.
Right.
He could definitely get graduate up to that level.
At some point, is going to retire.
Right.
And Verana's going to be one of those young studs. I think he's got to have that potential.
I think he's going to be a consistent 35 to 40 goal scorer.
I love Verana.
Going forward.
What is it about Verana that you have
to
do?
I feel like I discovered him.
You discovered him at the parade.
Well, you have a connection with him from the parade where you toss your phone up to him for the Grant and Danny interview.
Yeah, he's always been my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. And I got his jersey.
He's your guy.
I got to have him sign it. Ooh, that's another one.
Maybe we can book him on the show,
and then you can awkwardly ask him to sign it. Right,
and like you can do with Barry Sanders.
All right, that's coming up at 9:40. We got Barry Sanders, Coach Scott Brooks from the Wizards coming up at 9:00, and we'll give you a chance to win those Monster Jam tickets with a little Junkie Shootout on a game show Wednesday at 9:20. All right, here on the Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
By the way, Zion makes his NBA debut, regular season debut tonight.
It's a late one, though. It's 9:30, I believe, is tip.
They play. No, it's 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do I see 9:30? 8 o'clock, I'll check it out.
You're reading your TV listings wrong there, Ricky.
Maybe they bumped it up.
No, it's 8:05. I mean, maybe it's an ESPN game. But they're playing the Spurs at home. I just looked at the player props on my site. And the over-under for points for Zion tonight in his debut is 12.5.
I was just thinking, my guess was going to be right around 11 points.
Yeah. Did you go over?
Is he going to be on a minutes restriction or
under restriction?
Sure, he is.
I think I'm going to go over just because in the preseason, he actually was, when his limited action in preseason, he was impressing me.
Right.
And they don't play defense.
They don't play defense. Right.
Yeah.
So it's 12.5. His rebounds are 5.5. So I don't know. I might look at that tonight.
I think, I mean, it's a pretty damn good number.
Yeah. But like you said,
because I could see a 12-6 type of line.
Yeah.
In, you know, 20 minutes
of
action.
Or if he's playing well and he goes to his coach, and I don't even know who the coach of the Pellies is, but he goes to his coach and says, hey.
I believe it's Alvin Gentry.
Alvin Gentry. Coach Gentry, I feel good. Let me stay in for an extra few minutes, and then maybe he gets to 15, 18. But I think it's a number that
I'll be honest. This is how little I care about the NBA outside of the Wizards, obviously.
Don't you have some sort of wacky fantasy team, too?
Yeah, but I've kind of lost. I do DFS, I dabble. And I also have Drab's wacky NBA salary cap league, which I've kind of lost interest in, kind of going through the motions. I had no idea that Frank Vogel was coaching the Lakers. I saw him being interviewed. Yeah. I was like, why are they interviewing Frank Vogel? And then I realized that he was the head coach of the Lakers.
All right, so hold on.
Yeah, you kind of missed out about 6 months ago.
Yeah, I kind of missed out on that.
Whatever it was.
Missed out on that news.
I thought it was still Phil Jackson. All right, so the game is not at 8, Drabby?
No, ESPN picked it up and moved it to 9:30.
So it is 9:30. All right. See, I hate when I get ridiculed. Right.
I didn't ridicule you. Ridicule.
I kind of ridiculed you.
It says 8:05 on my site.
I just wanted to say ridicule so he'll play Freddie Wilhite, which I guess you never do.
No, I can do that.
So I don't know why it says 8:05 on my site. But anyway, I think I'm going to look at that 12.5. I have a little bit of interest in the game. I won't see it, but I'll have
looks
a
like
interest.
It looks like the rookie of the year is going to be Ja Morant.
Oh, yeah. Gotta be.
But I think I brought this up maybe with you. I don't know. During the Christmas holidays, when I did the Wizard show, there was a question of, like, if you had to guess the best player of the decade.
Right.
I think we talked about it. Zion, to me, is a possibility of the 2020s. Like, the easy ones to say are Giannis.
And Luka.
And then Luka.
Right.
And maybe you could say Trae Young or something like that. You know, the younger guys. But it's like Zion didn't get mentioned because he hasn't played.
Sure.
But he may be ridiculously dominant.
Mm-hmm. Some of the highlight dunks of Morant this year are just stupid. His elevation.
And his passing and his dribbling. I mean, he's a very good player.
He really is.
And Memphis is actually, check the standings. Like, they may be a playoff team.
Maybe. I don't think they're quite 500, but you don't have to be 500 to be a playoff team. I'd have to check the standings. But Morant's highlights this year have been unbelievable.
Yeah,
Dunking over guys who are 7-1.
You know, I am looking forward to seeing Zion. Zion just has that charisma and draw, man. Cakes and I had an appearance at the Xfinity store in D.C. when the NCAA tournament is here. And
they're playing Michigan State,
jumping,
I believe.
Jumping for Zion.
Yeah. No, he's a phenomenon. I mean, there was a reason why New Orleans went nuts when they secured the number one pick.
Now, they're a terrible team.
Oh, they're awful.
But maybe with Zion, they've got some young talent.
Luka last night in a three-point loss to the Clips had 36-10-9.
Is that good?
It's okay.
He's a good player.
All right, so I'm just on the ESPN schedule, and Wizards and Heat tonight at 7:30 down in Miami. Heat bounced back from that loss when they were up here. Yeah, you're right. 9:30. I don't know why my site says 8, but
so
at the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans.
That's right. So, oh, Smoothie King, so good.
So we've got this wacky story about TikTok videos. Have you read this?
I did see the headline, yes.
So I don't know if this is going to be a bit that we do on the show.
Sounds like if anybody
I'm
were to do it,
probably can't pull
video.
It off.
Sounds like AWOD is
on
the perfect
NBC
guy.
Sports Washington. I don't know. We'd have to have a screen. But there was apparently I'm just going to read the story.
Okay.
A groundbreaking 2013 study of how mice can taste with their testicles has resurfaced online, and now social media bozos are testing the theory by dipping their junk in soy sauce.
What?
To see if they can taste with
a different part of their body other than their mouth.
Oh my God.
You know,
can't
what?
Believe that's a story.
I like dipping spicy tuna rolls in soy sauce. Right. You know what? Call me crazy. Call me in the box. That's what I'm going to dip
my
in the soy sauce.
Also, my salmon sushi.
Yeah,
tastes really good in it.
As long as you still have your taste buds in your mouth, why would you bother? Like, okay, like theoretically, let's say you lost your taste buds. Some people lose their sense of taste. So let's say you lose your taste buds in your mouth, and this was theoretically correct.
Yep.
Maybe then you would try it. Well, all I know is to get the taste.
If that were to happen to me, and I went out to the Palm for dinner, Timmy Seymour is going to kick me right out of the establishment if I start tasting my filet mignon with that part of my body. He's not going to be very happy when that happens.
Aren't you curious though?
There's a guy, Axel Jean.
Not really.
If you can or not?
No.
Who got, he's not received curious. Over 800,000 likes.
Why? Because mice he have done it?
No. He said he was able to taste the salt.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense. I mean,
I'm very intrigued.
I mean, that part of your body
but
that's
why?
Holding.
You still have taste buds. You
Look,
know what I'm saying?
I like experiments.
And you like
experiments.
Attention.
Yeah.
Can you say that word again?
Experiments.
Experiments.
Oh, it's not an experiment.
If that's true, why aren't we tasting salt all the time down there?
Because of sweat?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a bogus story. It's a dumb trend.
Well, why'd you put it in the outline?
It's a stupid trend on TikTok.
It's what people are talking about.
Yeah.
All right.
It's got 800,000 likes.
I can't believe it. My daughters do TikTok videos all the time.
Well, not like that.
I hope they're not testing soy sauce.
Right. Those, they better not be.
Those are way different.
I'm giving them up for adoption if I find out.
They're just dancing. They're just doing wacky dances.
Mm-hmm. They do wacky dances all the time.
I wanted to talk about Wendy Williams.
I mean, you're taking shows? A bite from the very thin EP if you want to talk. Which
sorry,
is fine.
You got 4 minutes.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's the one story we can do.
All right. What happened with Wendy Williams?
I mean, here's your headline, and I know why Valdez printed this out. So he can play all the sound effects. Wendy Williams tries to hold in a fart on live TV. And shocker, Valdez has the audio. Right.
I have two versions.
All right.
Okay. I have the original dubbed version of her doing her monologue.
All right.
And then also I have one where I enhance the sound.
Yes, of
because
course you
do. Because it's kind of faint.
Now, wait,
it's
when
off,
you
it's
say,
off mic.
When you say you've enhanced the sound, does that
I just
mean-
I boosted the audio.
Well, if I'm going to just test Cakes' memory.
Okay.
Cakes is usually good at this.
I'll try.
Jason Paul. The last Fartgate involved a Democratic presidential candidate who's not part of the campaign anymore. You know, he dropped out. Can you remember that congressman's name?
So it's not Bernie.
He's a congressman?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. I need a hint. I mean, there were a million Dems
His
running.
His first name was Eric.
Oh, I don't know. No way.
His first name was Eric.
Yes.
Like this?
Eric.
Yes.
I'm so distraught.
Eric.
We played it on the air.
Eric.
All right. Where was he a congressman?
I think in California. Though,
is that going to give it away for you?
No, probably not.
I believe he went to the University of Maryland.
He's a Terp?
And got his law degree from Maryland. I might be botching that.
He a Terp?
You obviously don't know. It's Eric Swalwell.
Swalwell?
Yes. You usually remember a name
I mean,
stuff
I
rem- like that.
No, but here.
You remember the fart.
I remember the issue. Here's what you're forgetting. It's about politics.
Right.
And politics, to me, they're boring, stupid, divisive,
okay.
And I hate them.
Do you like a Wendy Williams fart? Because here's
I mean,
Wendy
I guess. Williams. I guess we're going to hear it.
You can't just slap people on the booty. Of course, he probably knows it's not right from a man to a woman or a woman to a man, but you can't even do that locker room thing. That cop wasn't playing that. I mean... You're lucky you only got battery.
No, I think that's the chair.
No,
she's sitting in the chair?
She stands up.
It's a velvet chair.
Oh, she
so
does
she's sitting
down.
In the she's yeah. Sit, yeah, that's the chair.
No. Her cheeks,
not the chair?
She's sitting sideways, too, so her bum is off the seat.
Her bum.
I would say.
Are you from England?
Look, she farted. I would bet on fart.
All right.
Let's hear the enhanced audio.
Of course, he probably knows it's not right from a man to a woman or a woman to a man, but you can't even do that locker room thing. That cop wasn't playing that. I mean, you're lucky you only got battery. What if he...
That sounds like Valdez just found a random fart and overlaid it over top of Wendy Williams. That's my theory.
By the way, Wendy Williams... Who I don't really know much about her.
I
was
know
she a radio
about
personality
her.
That does. She did like celebrity dirt, and then she got her own talk show.
Ax me.
You she's think talk, he knows.
She's talking
yeah,
about
just
Odell.
Just ax me again.
She's talking about Odell Beckham Jr. on her show.
I don't even
that's
know
what she's talking
okay, that's,
about.
Okay,
remember he the battery?
Yeah, he
clapping.
Smacked the security guard.
Right.
You know,
I think it was a part because she was like the cadence of her speech. It does sound like. she's affected and trying to hold in a fart.
Right.
And eventually
you can't even
just
do that locker room thing. That cop wasn't playing that. I mean, you're looking
this is Valdez's top story of 2020. I know 2020 is very young. We're not even out of the first month.
It sounds so fake.
It sounds fake.
She also froze up though about a second before she ripped it.
Right.
Plus, yeah. I don't think women can fart like that. Sorry, I'm not trying to be sexist.
I think it's the chair.
But women can't rip them like
that. She addressed this because I remember Swalwell did address it.
Right.
Saying it was all fake. She hasn't addressed it. She's just moving on.
I can't believe that donkey dog is actually running for president. Some guy named Eric Swalwell that nobody's heard of.
Swalwell. The last thing I remember was Ditka.
I'm sorry. You can't win the presidency when your last name is Swalwell. You can't. It's not a good enough name to be president.
Okay.
It's not a presidential name.
All right.
It's just not.
All right. I'm with you.
No, I'm just spitballing. I know nothing, but I mean, you're not going to get a guy named Swalwell elected president, in my opinion. He can be the greatest candidate ever. Has to change his name.
All right. Coming up next, we'll switch gears. We'll talk about the Wizards. They're coming off a win against the Detroit Pistons. Bradley Beal scores 29 in that game. Their head coach, Scott Brooks, joins us next here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.